This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by DVC Resale Market. DVC Resale Market has become the leader in the DVC resale industry. They have sold over $400 million in DVC Vacation Club and have over 100 years of combined direct DVC experience. If you're looking to buy or sell, DVC Resale Market wants to put their knowledge and world-class service to work for you. Contact our friend Nick Cotton over at DVC Resale Market at www.dvcresalemarket.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 404 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. On this week's show, well, it's all about having a little bit more fun down at Disney Springs. And we're also going to do a little bit of a trip review with Sam. So before we get to that, though, let me introduce who I have on the show with us tonight. First of all, as you just heard, we have Sam. Hey, Sam, how's it going?
And what's up? I'm so happy to be back. It's good to see you again. It's good to hear your voice again on the same show as opposed to just listening to you while I'm cutting the grass and being, man, Ed's still in Florida. But welcome back to PA, I guess.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, the second show from the studios up north, and we are back. And Sam is just back from a recent trip to Walt Disney World. We are really hitting it hard as far as making up for lost trips.
We are. And that we got to be, man. It's been so long, and if you can do it, you got to do it. And August is hot in Florida, but that's okay. I'm still going.
Yep, very cool. Along with Sam tonight, and to provide me a little help in quizzing him on his trip, we have Melissa. Hey, Melissa, how's it going?
I'm well. Hey, everybody. Excited to talk about Sam's trip again, live vicariously through him, and maybe a little bit about Disney Springs.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And along with us tonight, we have Lisa. Hey, Lisa, how's it going?
Hello, hello. How are we doing tonight?
Very good. Nice to have you with us.
Nice to be here. I happened to be in the parks a couple of the same days that Sam was in the parks.
He
was
in different parks, though. We did a horrible job coordinating that, didn't
yeah.
we?
Yeah. You were in one park. I was in another pretty much multiple times throughout the week.
That's
kind of the way it goes with the park reservations nowadays. So it's just that much level of making it difficult to hook up with people at the last minute. Okay, guys. So tell us about your trips. Let's jump in.
Well, it's just so different, though, right? A local trip versus, I mean, how do you consider it a trip? That would be my question for Lisa, right? Being a local, but taking up a couple days off to spend in the parks. What did you do exactly?
So really funny. Because I'm not certain I've been on the show since the last time I did this. But I had a friend, I had Edwin in town with his wife and his three boys. And I decided to join them for a day at Hollywood Studios. Now, I did this several weeks ago with my buddy above me here with Ed. And I joked that it was, at that point, probably the longest day I had spent in the park. I think I probably got to the park that day, 9:30-ish?
Right.
I had breakfast. And I think we walked out of the park at, 7:30, 8 o'clock that night, maybe? Mm-hmm. maybe a little bit, maybe a little bit earlier than that.
Right. And I had said, waiting for Rise.
I had said that it was the longest day I had spent in the park as long as I could remember. I topped it with Edwin.
Nice.
I topped it. I got there for a rope drop at 8 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get home until 9:30 at night. So
which park was this?
This was Studios Again.
Studios Again.
So one of the reasons why I joined him was because he is a diehard Star Wars fan.
Nice.
Big Star Wars fan. And for him, the last time he was here with his family was a week and a half before Galaxy's Edge opened.
Oh.
So he was walking up to, you know, they were doing the sneak previews for annual pass holders, and they were selecting a family every now and then. He would walk into the park every day. Can we please be the family? And they wouldn't let him in, and they wouldn't let him in. So he had waited a long time to really get that experience. So I was lucky enough to join him on his first trip to Batuu.
Nice. That's cool. You got to love going there with somebody for the first time.
It was, I always say it's, and he's a grown man, but it was like going to the park for the first time ever with one of your kids. Like you're really not watching what's going on in the park. You're watching what they're doing.
Sure. Right. Very cool. Awesome.
So for me being a local, I've actually, the last couple of times I've tagged along as a tourist more than a local.
That's good.
Other than that, usually it's just a pop by for a meal or just to catch the ambiance or, you know, I had promised his son, I went to Animal Kingdom on Wednesday because I had promised his son I'd ride Everest with him. I just went and rode Everest with him.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Lisa, what attractions was he able to enjoy at Hollywood Studios? Did he get into the cantina, do a lightsaber?
He didn't get into the cantina. I didn't even think it was something that he even thought about. And I thought about it very after the fact. He did a lightsaber. They did everything. Lightsaber, nice. Built droids. All three of his boys went home with droids. He built a lightsaber that night I was with him. Then he thought the experience was so amazing that he booked it for then 3 days later when they were in Studios Again for one of his kids who was a big Star Wars fan.
So it was available, number one. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, it was actually the park closed at 9 and he got a 9:15 or 9:20 reservation.
Ooh, that's really? Pretty cool.
I will tell you one of, and I know he posted pictures in the Disney Nerds group, but he had an 8:20 reservation to build a lightsaber when we got out of Savi's. We found a photo pass photographer that probably spent 15 minutes with him.
That's cool.
And just the pictures were fantastic.
That's the coolest.
A man with his new lightsaber. The picture.
Yeah.
In an empty park because he's getting it done at 9:15. That's
it. It was an empty park.
That's
and even
cool.
Some of the pictures that he got with his son, I'm certain were taken by the PhotoPass photographer.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Because the two of them had lightsaber battles in front of the Falcon.
Yeah, there's nothing. Yeah, that's.
See, now, when we were down there in July and June, the Hollywood Studios was closing at 8. And it actually took me a day or two to figure out that I have to stop trying to figure out how to get back to Hollywood Studios to see Galaxy's Edge at night because I was never going to see it at night. It was never going to be dark after, 8 o'clock. So closing at 9 and now we're getting a little later in the season. Yeah, that's cool.
I will say, and I don't know, Sam, I know Ed is this person. Sam, I don't know whether or not you are, but I know my friend Edwin is. Is what caused me to get up at 7:30 in the morning and go to a park that opened at 9 was that he was like, oh no, we're rope dropping. I'm like, okay, let's go rope drop.
It's so worth it.
But what he found after 2 days of rope dropping was that by and truly on Studios Day on that Monday, we had done everything available in the park by 3 o'clock. So we were now at that point, they're doubling up, you know,
that's not a bad thing.
Well, but one of the things that he figured out was, you know what, maybe I don't need to rope drop. And sometimes, you know, he made that adjustment mid-trip, and he started not rope dropping, getting up in the morning, relaxing, going to the pool, enjoying the resort for a little bit, then going to the park in the afternoon and the evening hours. So
how'd it go?
Yeah, it's against Ed's religion for that.
Big time. Did he get on the rides he wanted to get on, though?
And then some, yes, multiple times.
Okay,
that's cool.
Fair enough. Well, I kind of maintain, and we've talked about it earlier, how I think the summer's ending earlier this year because the park rates are going down. The levels, I think, are going down right away. The touring plan numbers are going down, except for actually Labor Day itself. And I saw Jimmy's numbers. He posted the numbers to kind of, rub it in our faces. Ones and twos every day.
And I think one of the things that you need to take into account is that anybody that might have a trip booked or usually goes late August, early mid, ends of September is probably waiting until October for the 50th.
That's very possible. Sure. I let's be honest. Is Delta keeping anybody away? Maybe.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
The airline or the COVID?
Yeah. We saw a lot of folks on the Facebook page mentioning that they were rescheduling their trips for later in the year or next year. So I think between the 50th anniversary and those events starting, you've got the Delta variant, you've got schools that started back up again. Labor Day tends to be fairly quiet anyway. There's some storms that are brewing. It looks like it's probably going to go over to Louisiana, but you never know. I think that's just right. A little quieter the next 2 weeks.
And guys, Melissa was talking about our Facebook page, the Disney Nerds page. We have two pages, the Disney Nerds podcast page, which gives you a lot of information about the podcast itself. We also have a great social page called the Disney Nerds page, which is more of a private page. We just hit 50,000 members, which
that's
is pretty cool. Awesome, and we are always looking for more. And we share so much. And I'm not talking just us co-hosts. We're talking a good majority of the people that are part of that Facebook page share all their Disney trips, share a lot of their Disney ideas, their Disney crafts, things like that. So definitely check it out.
Yeah, most definitely a great group. And I tell you what, you get insights that you never thought of. It's great to have that diversity out there in the group.
Hey, Sam, can you tell me about your trip? When did you get back?
So it was a quick trip, only 4 days, and then we drove to the beach, figured we'd wrap up the summer on a beach, come back home and go back to school and all that fun stuff, which has already happened. But it was a good trip, a couple days over at Pop Century, which is the first time I've been there in a long time. So I got to experience those pull-down desk bed setups that they have in there, which are kind of cool.
Have you not experienced those yet?
I had not done those in person, not to the setup that they have there at Pop.
I think they're fantastic.
Yeah, it gives you a lot of room. I mean, when you have the two beds in the room, you're always kind of pushing to try to find a place to have breakfast. But with mobile ordering, you can get some Mickey waffles and flip that up, turn it into a table, and have breakfast in your room, which we did quite a few nights, which was kind of cool.
Nice.
Of course, get there and go straight to the Skyliner and head to the Food and Wine Festival, which was happening over at Epcot.
I'll ask the question before Ed asks it. Mm-hmm. Do you have any issues with the Skyliner?
I wasn't going to go there, but I don't think it rained at all, and I had no issues with the Skyliner.
It didn't. Like I said, for my Edwin stayed at Art of Animation. He didn't have a single issue with the
In
Skyliner.
In fact, there are one of the things we had to do this trip was Happily Ever After, because we won't see it again, right? This is the last time. We'll be back there for the 50th, but by then we'll be in the new show. So we needed to, let's go watch Happily Ever After. It was over at Magic Kingdom, 8:45 was the show time. That's kind of cool. Get a good spot on Main Street, watch it, record it. Actually attempted to go live, but Wi-Fi was horrible, so that didn't happen. But I do have a recording that we'll post at some time. Love that show. It's great. We'll leave, and then you get to the buses for Pop Century, and you go, this is going to take a little while. At which point, I'm estimating we're about 5 or 6 buses in. And Susan, my wife, looks over and says, there's a bus sitting at the Riviera station with just a couple of people on it. Ding, ding, ding. Let's go to the Riviera.
Because right. typically, and Ed, I know you've shared this before, if you're staying at Pop Century, we'd always look for the Pop Century bus or the Art of Animation bus, especially if you're staying in one of the resorts near the bridge that goes across those. So in this case, we get on a bus with a handful of people. Everybody's sitting. We go to the Riviera, get to look around the Riviera, check the thing out, jump on a Skyliner over the Caribbean beach and go back to Pop Century. So it was a nice little alternative to, oh man, look at that long line for Pop Century bus. So, a little inside trick.
Riviera is good for that because it's not a big expansive resort like Caribbean Beach would be. Like I wouldn't do that to Caribbean Beach because to get from where the buses let you off at Caribbean Beach to the Skyliner, I got to imagine is not close.
It's a bit of a hike, yeah.
I mean, this one,
if they're not next to each other, but you got to go through the lobby and see some of the murals and see some of the things people talk about. So it was cool to do.
Leslie and I actually hit the Riviera. It was nice.
That tile mosaic is beautiful, isn't it?
The mosaic Peter Pan as you go out towards the... Yeah, that is absolutely beautiful. And somewhere in there, there's a shot of that. But that was cool. But it's still... You still get back late. And the first thing on my mind is, dang it, I got to get up at 7 a.m. to try to get on a boarding group. That's a drag, man.
6:45. Who are you kidding? You don't get
6:55 because now my trip in June, I was not able to get on the 7 a.m. boarding groups. It just wasn't going to happen. Which, by the way, I'm sure you guys saw that they announced that Ratatouille or Remy would be the same process. So there's no way you're going to be able to get both of these. Pick which one you want to get when you wake up at 7 a.m.
And that's more evidence, I think, that park reservations are definitely staying. They're going to keep the park reservations in that way. So they have that many less people only can be then competing for the Ratatouille ride or the, Rise Resisting.
I was able to get it at 7 a.m. this time though. So by 7:05, I was back in, or 7:02, I was back in bed. That's how fast the thing went. And it's because this time, and you had shared this on the show before, now when you refresh your screen constantly during that last minute, which by the way, why can't they have seconds on there? Instead, it just shows you that it's 6:59 and you keep refresh until all of a sudden it pops up and you see the people in your group, which now are automatically selected to be the people that are have a park pass for the day. You don't even have to look at them. Press that blue button at the bottom. Refresh, blue. And I'm in at 7 o'clock and 30 seconds.
Right.
I'm in boarding group 78 and I'm back in bed.
Now, while you guys are down there, there was another novelty that did happen with Rise of Resistance, and I'm not sure who was there the day, if it was happening, you just guys heard about it, but toward the end of the day, they finished the boarding groups, and they actually opened up the Rise of Resistance for standby line for about the last hour of the park.
That was the day before I was there, so that happened on Sunday evening. I was there on Monday morning, which is kind of interesting because when that got posted on Monday morning, I was in line for Slinky Dog.
Okay.
And a group behind me walked up to the cast member and showed them on their phone that, of course, it had been posted that it's now a boarding group is no longer needed, that you could just get into the standby line. And she did something really interesting, which I've never seen a cast member do before, okay, which was cover up their name badge and say, okay, I'm not a cast member right now. Where did you get that? Where did you see that? Because I haven't seen that at all. So, of course, they walk back to whoever it was that had it on their phone. And she, the whole time she's like, no, I have not seen that yet. That's definitely not something. And as it turned out, it was that they had given out all the boarding passes that they're not doing a standby line.
I mean, it was that day. So I think there's some testing going on, right?
It was a shot at it to see what would happen if they gave away their boarding passes now.
Or it was a good day and they got through most of the boarding groups.
And that'd be great where they had no problems and they finally were able to do that. Now
It was the same day that the boarding passes were still being given out at 4:30 in the afternoon. That's how slow it was.
It was a slow day then. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's how they've always intended it to run, but it's just really glitchy and
breaks
down and we don't want these guests to be in line for 10 hours and get that bad rap that, you know, Universal did with Hagrid. And then it breaks down and what are you going to give guest. You know, right. You've been sitting here in the hot sun forever. So, yeah, I think that's how they would love for it to work. And maybe someday it will get to that point. Maybe this week right. We hear more of it with the crowd solo.
With that being said, you got boarding group number 78, Sam.
Yes.
When you went on Rise, I noticed in Galaxy's Edge this time around, a couple of missing animatronics that are pretty popular.
There were a couple missing, and actually I was recording Rise of Resistance, of course, but I was able to get the B-roll for the second Kylo Ren animatronic. So yes, it wasn't working, but they changed the storyline slightly at that point in the ride.
And I had not experienced that at all. That was fantastic.
You're going through there and you're like, wait a minute, there's Kylo's ship and now he's coming up and he stops right outside and he's ready to blast you. And then it spins around and you go right past where that animatronic would have been. But it's, you know, if you didn't know it was supposed to be there, you wouldn't know it wasn't.
And that was it. So it was Edwin's first ride ever on Rise of the Resistance. And I'm like, you have no idea what you didn't know existed.
But it was perfect. I mean, and
that's how you want it to be.
Anyway, that's exactly how you want it to be. So you got to give kudos to Disney for having a B mode that's almost as good as the A mode.
Yeah. And because that's, to me, is fairly, I don't know how new that is. Because the last time I rode Rise, I want to say that animatronic was broken. And we just stood there and heard the audio, but the thing didn't move.
Yeah, I'd rather have that B mode where.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Nice. Did you notice the other missing?
I don't know if I did.
The Hondo animatronic was missing.
Oh, you know what? I did not get to. I did not ride Smuggler's Run.
Yep, that Hondo animatronic was missing.
I did not get to there.
Jimmy will be very upset.
I know.
If Hondo's not there, hopefully he's back. Now, I did, along the lines of Olga's, you were talking about before, Lisa, I was able to get a walk-up reservation for two at Olga's late in the day. They took a phone number and texted you back, and they texted me, and we got in, and that was kind of cool.
Walk-up is how I've been doing a lot of my dining reservations lately.
It's good to know, right? Mm-hmm. But get into Olga's with a walk up and walk around with my Rancor Tooth beer flight, which I finally bit the bullet and got.
Cool.
And I also tried for the first time this trip a Wookiee cookie. That was pretty good.
Nice.
That's over at Backlog Express. It's really good. Oatmeal cookie with the Chewbacca chocolate going across the top of it. That's good.
Speaking of food, what was your favorite food and wine?
Oh, speaking of food, back at Food and Wine, I got to tell you, it was weird being at Food and Wine Festival when it's 95 degrees outside. Mm-hmm. I'll start by saying that. It sort of changes what you want to eat or not.
Go in the evening. You almost have to go when it's dark.
Yes. And Ed, you're exactly right, because you got your lobster bisque soup. You got your cheddar cheese soup. I mean, I'm not going to eat that when it's 95 degrees outside. In fact, some of the other things are just too heavy to eat along those lines. There were some good things, as always, at the festival. I'm trying to think of some that we had outside of the pizza that we had. And
were there more of the booths open? Like, was Ireland opened?
Ireland was opened. I'd actually heard that earlier this week. The other seven that are supposed to open in October actually already opened, good. Which is kind of cool. Lots of 50th anniversary merchandise starting to pop up.
I'm sure. That's going to be the big trend.
Sure. For 18 months, that's all we're going to see.
Okay.
You can see some of the bigger items. We were over at the Contemporary. We did the same thing that you did, Sam, the Wave for breakfast.
Yes, the Wave breakfast upstairs.
We did it, I think, the day before you. Angela and I did it. And that gift shop at the Contemporary had some 50th. Gear jerseys and hats, and
the Contemporary did not have much of a lobby.
Oh, they didn't have much of any lobby at all. That resort is under some significant construction, and it's tough to go by as far as finding where you're going, because the Wave is all blocked off.
The front desk is all blocked off. You could hear the jackhammers in the Wave walking through. I mean, you could hear clear as day wood being ripped out of there and stuff happening. Although we did get, we found out what's going in there. That is Steakhouse 71.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
A shout out to Steakhouse 55. They used to be at the Disneyland Hotel, but isn't there anymore. But Steakhouse 71, I know for a while, and I think I even speculated, because we'd heard the rumors, it's going to be the Incredible Steakhouse. Now we might be hearing about an Incredibles breakfast offering, but don't know.
Sure.
Which actually I wouldn't like, because Lisa, this is where you can go to get a great breakfast and not have to pay the extra for the characters.
Yep.
Right? It's $24 a person as opposed to $60 a person to get Chef Mickey's to get Mickey. But this was our last day. One of the reasons I got this breakfast was because we were driving to the beach. We checked out of Pop Century and I parked right here. Having that reservation allowed me to do that. And we broke out of there a little bit early and we headed to the beach in the afternoon, in the early afternoon. So nice. Part of the process.
Cool. Okay, guys, before we move on, anything else stand out about this last trip?
It was... And I didn't know that. I think on the Disney Parks blog, they told us at one point that the Hall of Presidents would be opening up in August. And it did. Got to see the Hall of Presidents. It was, as you would expect. And just having the president recite the oath of office and nothing additional on top of that.
Right. Safe. That how they work. Hall of Presidents was the last one up.
Hall of Presidents is the last one, and I have not watched that yet. But I'm looking. In fact, I love Behind the Attraction.
Yes, that's a fantastic show.
The five new ones landed yesterday, along with the new gallery Mandalorian. Ed, by the way, I have not watched that yet, but that'll be a good one. But Behind the Attractions, it's a small world. Some of that story I hadn't heard before. And I love hearing it from actual Imagineers, people that were there, or recordings from Marty Scar, some of the others that worked on this stuff. And to me, that's amazing. I love hearing that stuff.
Yeah, I learned something new. And there's lots of things that I already know. But just hearing the individual stories from the Imagineers or little personal tidbits about it, it's just really fun.
Mm-hmm. And the Imagineers, it's like the second generation. I'm recognizing them too. That's what's so cool about it. I'm like, wait a minute, that's the guy that in the castle episode, the one guy that built the castle in Hong Kong.
Yeah,
I'm blanking on his name. His name's Bill. I'm like, that's the guy that got inducted into the as a Disney Imagineering legend at the D23 Expo I was at. That's him. That's kind of cool.
Sure, you got to figure if anybody's with the company for a while, they're going to be on multiple projects. So if they happen to be a couple of your favorites, you're going to see Imagineers over and over.
And the Imagineer that was in The Mandalorian, when he starts talking, I'm like, dude, that's from the planet in Mandalorian. That's the guy.
Yep. There you go. Pretty funny. Okay, guys. So what we're going to continue the show and talk about now is a thought I had a couple weeks ago. I went down to Disney Springs after dropping my daughter off at the airport in Orlando. And basically, Leslie and I decided to spend the day there. We wanted to go on. It was a Sunday. We got there in mid-morning and had some breakfast and then decided to walk around and experience the stores and other attractions. Now, I tell you what, after about a half hour, I was already getting a little tired of walking around. And that kind of brought up this idea. And when I talked to my co-hosts about it, they thought it was a good idea too. How can we make Disney Springs a little bit more, I guess, entertaining for the non-shopaholic? And I guess the other thought that came up this past week or last week was how the NBA experience, which was the closed Disney Quest, has decided not to reopen after the closing for the pandemic. So that store is out of there now, or that whole development is out of there now. And that kind of brought up the thought, how can we plus, to use a word we're using too much nowadays, but how can we plus Disney Springs?
I completely agree with you, Ed. Like, for as long as I can remember, Disney Springs is a one-stop shop for me. I'm going to go when Cirque du Soleil was open. Maybe that was my late-night entertainment. We'd go have a nice dinner, go watch the show, go back to the resort. Now with that not having been open for years now, Raglan Roads, maybe your nighttime entertainment. Again, go for a meal, go for a show at late at night and go back. But it's not something that I'm going to multiple times during my trip. I can only shop so much. I can only eat so much while I'm there. It's really, I feel like it needs something additional. So I really like this topic.
I also think that it probably could be a little bit more family friendly.
Sure. No, like, much more.
As somebody with kids, although my kids are getting older now and they don't mind walking around, but when my kids were younger, it was like, now what? Can we go? What's the next thing? What's the draw? What's the attraction?
I'm really surprised, to your point, Lisa, that there isn't a playground. So Epcot will add during the festivals those modular kind of like football field, AstroTurf grass and some play equipment and like nice shade and stuff. That would be a great place to have that so that you can grab your Starbucks and sit and let the kids run around, and maybe mom or dad or grandma is going shopping for a little bit and you rotate through. Like, that's just a nice addition right there.
Like 20 years ago, I remember across from, not to make Ed sad, where 20,000 Leagues used to be, and then now Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is, there used to be that little play area there across from Winnie the Pooh.
Sure.
They had 100 Acre Wood. Yeah, yes. And I remember my niece playing there, and it used to be fantastic, but something like that. Absolutely.
Right. We had a experience on our trip down in June with my daughter in Frontierland. Over by Big Thunder and Splash Mountain, they have a little playground under the train bridge, which is in there, kind of hidden away, which is awesome. We remember that from being really, really young. So sure. They do have them in certain places. Now, Disney Springs does have what do you want to call those areas where it's flat and there's fountains that shoot up at the kids as they're walking across it? Way up at the end where they used to have the buses come in at the past the Disney, the toy store and Earl of Sandwich in that area. Right. And they have the little train also, which I think they still have.
A splash pad or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, yeah, that's exactly
right.
What it is.
Which they have one of those at Epcot, right as the corner of Mission Space and toy Test Track. But as far as kid things go, that's a great point. That's probably about it for the 7 and under crowd for sure.
And Melissa brings up a really good point about what they do by, you know, bringing in that the turf there and what they do at Epcot, because if I had my druthers, I would say do the same thing that you do for, I would compare Disney Springs to like a World Showcase almost, right? A place where you go and kind of walk around and drink and eat and shop for the most part.
Right.
Sure.
Why not add a scavenger hunt for the kids, just like you do with Hide and Squeak or anything else that you got going on?
They've sort of started that with a Christmas tree trail, I guess. They're kind of going that way. It's something, right?
Right. But yeah, I totally agree with that. Give us something that's all year round. It's because most people aren't going to Disney Springs all the time. It's just kind of, you know, things that we can do there. But the scavenger hunt was one of the ideas, definitely.
That shouldn't be that hard to pull off, just like you do at Epcot.
And they're there all the time, so you can have those little characters, the Ratatouille type of scavenger hunt, or something that ties into Disney Springs even. Don't they start selling the Disney Springs brand water? You can have water bottles hidden everywhere. Or you can do almost anything as long as
they should get 50 gold characters and hide them all around Disney Springs and make it a scavenger hunt. Who knows? Maybe that's all happened to these things in a year.
No, definitely. That's good ideas. And that's what we're trying to do, is throw out some ideas which would make our Disney Springs experience just a little bit more fun. It approaches me as like I'm really close to a large mall that has kind of gone the high-end route. So there's a lot of stores at our mall that I will never shop at. And a lot of people I got to think are shopping online at too. And I kind of think that's where the where Disney Springs went. Melissa mentioned earlier about her routine going to Disney Springs and such. Early on, yeah, when they had Pleasure Island, we would go almost every night. We would finish the parks, whatever time they got done, and then we go over to Downtown Disney. And it was always fun because we can go a couple different places each night we'd go there. I don't get that as much anymore. And even the places that are there, some of the bars and restaurants, yeah, Jock Lindsay's was fun to hang out at. Raglan Roads, cool, but there's not a lot of good bars. Even Jock Lindsay's, the bar isn't that big itself, and the bars aren't that big. And
well,
I was trying to think what's left right now for the adult crowd. Like after hour, like late at night, you're going to stay out. So Splitsville, I mean, maybe it's family.
Yeah, I would say it's the Edison is not, but
the Edison has the,
has been
do the dance,
the burlesque.
Which is on the weekends, no kids after 10 p.m. Is that right? I think that's it.
Yeah.
Okay. Friday, Saturday.
Cirque du Soleil, we are expecting sometime maybe next.
November 18th. 11/18 is the opening day. Cirque du Soleil Drawn to Life. Tickets went on sale.
And that'll be tough to get tickets for the first year or so. So that's going to be a tough one to get your kids into.
House of Blues adults. Running and like you said, Raglan Road at night. I can only go there once a trip. It's a little loud to be there multiple times.
And if you can get in, and if you can get in and see the stage,
right?
So
that's actually, I prefer to go to Raglan Road for brunch. We really enjoyed their brunch, and they still have the dance troupe that comes in, and it's intermittent, so you maybe see it only once during your meal, but the rest of the time you can still have a conversation.
That was the that was the excitement of our day at Disney Springs for me, actually, was going to Raglan Roads, having brunch, and seeing the show, the first show they had up there that day. They had the couple dancers come up, and then they had the two guys and the guitars.
But I would love like a dueling piano or a comedy club or just a couple of different things, and then I think you would go back multiple times through your trip at night for that adult crowd.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Trying to think for like the teens. So we talked about Splitsville. If you've got those tween teens in your group and you're looking for something to do, Splitsville's there. I really miss the Void, and
I never got to do it.
You really missed out. It was so amazing.
I almost did it in Vegas. They're in a couple of places. So.
They are, yep.
Well, and that's what they definitely need, is something more like the Void. And even though the NBA experience is closing down, one of the things that makes me hopeful is they did have interactive experiences in there. So it's not like they totally said no to those, because Disney Quest is the other one to bring up too, in addition to the Void, where it's a place you can go for almost any ages, but you know what? It's more like the 7 to 18 age group, you know, definitely the tweens.
I think one of the big problems the NBA experience had is it was $35 to get in. It wasn't a restaurant.
But it was a niche. Like, you had to like the NBA.
Right. If it was something that I'm into, I probably would have paid $35 and gone in. Right. But that's okay. Yeah, I see a bunch of kids shooting basketballs. That's kind of cool. If I could go in, maybe I'll let my kids do it, but I'm not going to pay $35 for each of them to do it.
Well, they had like slingshot basketballs.
And you could see it from outside. It looked cool.
Activities like that. Well, here's the thing. Let's bring back a Disney Quest. Let's bring back more of a Dave and Buster's type of Disney Quest. And let's put a couple of different locations at Disney Springs for that. West End, East End.
Yeah, I think it just needs to go to be the Void. Give them that space, because that's all they need. They just need a big box and multiple floors, and put in different themes. So if there's, floor one is Star Wars, floor two is Marvel, and Pirates.
Listen, you're absolutely right. I've got a better idea.
Okay.
All right. Hear me out. This is going to sound crazy, but I would do like a themed type, I don't know, like an adventure type theme, where the things on the wall talk to you, and there are interactive characters. Maybe we call one of them Hathaway.
We call it the Adventurers.
That's it.
There you go.
I'd kill to bring that back.
Seriously. They had so many things going on in there with the multiple rooms. They had the perfect idea where you can bring something back more modern today, still doing the same thing, because we would go back to go to the Adventurers Club because, you know what? We didn't get in the mask room that time, or we didn't get into the library that one time we were there, or all the different things, or we missed the great show in the main lobby here.
Yeah. I want to ride. I think you could do like a 3D of the new, Jungle Cruise. I want to sit on a boat with goggles and pretend I'm with The Rock. And he's the skipper. Just screens all around. You have no idea. You're just on that boat, and that boat's moving around or whatever.
That's kind of cool.
With that giant. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, sure.
Nothing so listening to what you were talking about before and just kind of going there and wanting to spend a day. And yeah, you could bowl or you could do something like that. I think Disney's got a missed opportunity here in that there are some really cool miniature golf locations at Walt Disney World.
Fantastic miniature golf locations.
But not near Disney Springs where you could walk to it. What if you took the Disney theme and combined it with this indoor miniature golf course that are popping up all over the country and throw that into the NBA experience? Have different floors. You could do an 8-course Star Wars miniature golf. You could do a Marvel miniature golf. You could do Princess. You could really turn that into a family-friendly attraction that I think would have repeatability. And you know what? If it rains, there'd be a line out the door to get it.
Oh, there'd be a huge line. You'd have to do reservations for it. That would be fantastic.
I'm going to suggest you bring miniature golf into there. And maybe not just miniature golf, but one of, you know, it's kind of Disney. If anybody could do it, you know, Disney could.
Sure.
Or even like a Top Golf, if they
Have that on the side. Let Dad over at the Top Golf, and the kids are going to be playing golf with the princesses.
Chuck balls into that lake, and it'll be fine.
Or even better yet, though, we do have a lot of great virtual golf course places.
Yeah, where and that's right.
Play any golf course in the world, and you would have your little thing in the room right there.
So that's my reimagineering of that. Too.
And that's good. A lot of
fun doing that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was also going to say, I think maybe 3 years ago, when Kingdom Hearts was released with Disney, they had the pop-up shop. So it was right off of
the
escalators when you came down, and it was there was only so many people allowed in. You got to go in, you got to see replicas of the keys, and you got to see previews of the game and just kind of the history of the game. You could pre-order the game, but then after you did that little mini museum look, you got to go back into get your own TV and play, I think it was 15 minutes of the game, and then you got to leave. And that was just such a fun experience for the teens and the adults who were really into experiencing the game to spend. I think we probably waited in line a half hour, took another 20 minutes in the museum, and then another 15 minutes playing the game. It was a great thing to look forward to.
Very cool. Very nice. Good idea.
So on that, thinking of the West Side there, Lisa, I really quickly looked at the Drawn to Life tickets. And there are some tickets left for opening night. There are two singles up top.
That's the Cirque du Soleil show.
That's the Cirque du Soleil Drawn to Life. They're there. $85 for the cheap seats up on the top. First, that's opening night.
Right.
My daughter is begging to go to that.
They're on sale. That's good.
Hmm. What about like classes, right? Like during Food and Wine, they sell out. All year round, that you could have kids, you know, classes that are family, some sort of craft or whatever, a little kids cooking class for the adults, maybe wine and cheese pairings, or you could have beer tasting.
Yeah.
The list goes on of different customizable classes that you offer versus being all over the resorts at different parks and stuff. They could still be there, and that's a great, you know, benefit for staying at a resort, but having it at Disney Springs and pulling you there, like, hey, we've got this class, and you know, little Susie, she's going to go to Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, and we're mom and dad are going to do this. Like, how fun would that be?
Sure, and you can call it like the Learning Annex or something like that. Great idea. That is a really good idea because you can actually plan your afternoon around that or day around that, where you have the 7 o'clock appointment for the mixology and how to make martinis. And then you have your dinner appointment after that, reservation.
Yeah, wherever.
I would also argue from a family-friendly perspective, I would also piece this in. If you're at Disney Springs, you're still in Disney.
Yes.
I think popping some character meet and greets out and about when we're obviously out of the pandemic would be something that would make the kids more apt and more excited to go.
Sure, definitely.
And make them random. Like, you don't know what's going to be there that day, but...
And you could play the Disney Springs type of slant to anything you do there with, you know, the characters that are going to show up, you know.
They do their, you know, the Taste of Florida festival thing in the springtime, which is sort of like a food festival, but it's not. They just have restaurants with special limited edition items. And when you said characters, the first thing I thought of is the only character I've ever seen down there is Santa Claus. where there's typically a 2.5 hour wait to see him. But you show up, you give them your phone number, and then you go shop for a couple hours.
Nice. I love how they do the virtual stuff. Here's an idea for Disney Springs. Why don't they have many or any attractions? Like a...
They had that little train, don't they?
I count that
one.
Yeah, obviously. But you know what? Make it they got to pay to get on that little train for the kids. So it's a $5 ticket to get into maybe a Circle Vision or maybe a something. I don't know. So just another idea. Something to get people out of the heat, get them off the lines.
But get them out of the stores, which is not why you're paying Disney rent to be there.
Right. True.
I think that's one of the issues, right? Because
have stores participate. Have some of the bigger stores participate. Coca-Cola do a 5-minute film on the history of Coca-Cola where people can go in there before they go and have their free samples or something like that.
Let's get a bunch of drones to go off the roof of the Coca-Cola building. That'd be cool.
That's fine. That'll be a show that happens every night. So you could be there at 10 o'clock when it happens.
Right.
And you'll see the light show. Okay, the balloon that they have there. Right. That's a great idea. Why don't we have a second one? Or is it just not, there's not enough use for it? Or why don't we have something on the other end similar that would take people's attention? There's a lot of things we could do at Disney Springs, I think. But
you have the cars, the Ampha cars.
True.
That is true. But you only fit 3 people. That's my problem.
But you know what? When I was there, there's still about 30 people watching. So. Yeah. You have the 3 people who paid to get in the car, but you have the 30 people who are watching, talking about it, and then, you know, moving on away from there and doing what they're going to do next. So that's kind of cool. Along the training lines, bring back how to draw pictures, how to draw animated characters.
That you could easily do down there. That's another room over in Disney Quest or in whatever it is that we're calling this thing.
Yeah. I mean, you can have it in any storefront, really, if you just redesign it, the front of it.
I'd throw one more thing in there. You're talking about animation. One of the big popular things to do, I know down here, I imagine where you guys are paint nights. People do paint nights all over the place. And they're a family affair for us. We do, themed paint nights on a very regular basis. And I bring this up only because at the resorts, like right now at the Contemporary, you can paint the castle and you're sitting at the Contemporary.
Yeah. Nicholas did that last trip. In the Contemporary up there, like a paint and sip, but they give you a little castle and you paint it overlooking the castle. That's cool.
Paint it overlooking the castle, which is really cool. But why not, bring an artist in and do a paint night and make it Disney themed?
I did see a craft that was either at a hotel, I believe, or I can't remember where it was, but it was of the Up House. And they used buttons glued on top of it for the
balloon. That's cool.
With just like the silhouette of the house underneath of it. So it was really nice looking.
One other thing I could think of, which is fairly common around the country now, but any of those trampoline parks, but a great place for kids to go burn some energy. And some of them are even doing teen nights. So if your kid is like 14 and older, you can drop them off and you actually leave. And so that would just be really nice as a parent, like, all right,
sign
a waiver and like have a nice time for 2 hours. I'll come and pick you up after dinner. But I mean, the ones that we have all those obstacle courses and stuff, which are becoming really popular. And it's inside. It's air conditioning. It's a great day for a rainy day. Another big box area that seems to be fun for all ages.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Okay, guys, what do you think? What can make Disney Springs that much more enjoyable for us? Keep us there a couple extra hours. Maybe even just get us to go for some of us who've never been.
Yeah.
Let us know. Send us your suggestions or any other questions to, you know what? Jimmy, tell everybody how to get in touch with the show.
Where the hell did Jimmy come from?
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds. Instagram @TheDisneyNerdsPodcast and Twitter @TheDisneyNerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys, so that's it for show number 404 of the Disney Nerds podcast. Thank you for listening. For Lisa, Melissa, Sam, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
So long, everybody.
TTFM, ta-ta for now.
Kongaloosh! I do that every time, by the way.
Very cool. It only took us like 375 shows to get this whole...
I listened to it. When did say my name? I was last, okay? Last.
Very cool. Okay.
On a side note, the walk-up or the wait list for reservations for food.
Yeah.
And Sam, you've got a fairly decent size family when you your travel group when you travel.
Right.
I find that it's easy to find places when it's...
Mortals pay a token fee, resting.